Well, praise the Lord. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis of Someone Cares Ministry. Welcome to the broadcast today. I want to thank you for tuning in. I want to encourage you to get your Bible, get your notepad, and a pen if you're able, because we're going to give you a lot of scriptures, line upon line, precept upon precept, in context, so that the Bible can preach itself. Amen. We're going to go back into part four of Divine Elements of Change. Let's go now into the Word of God.
And I'm simply telling the world and telling everybody, check these churches out, check these preachers out, check me out, because your soul is too important to be sitting under somebody you think following God and not. Amen? And so God raised us up for that purpose. Look at the next one. Now he tells you, he done told Eve a lie. Eve told her husband a lie, and they lost their lives. Now he get to dealing with us in our day and time. 2015, he's talking to us in one way or the other. Now he tells you, do what you want to do. God will understand. There's teachings in the body of Christ, your sins don't matter. Your sins won't affect your relationship with God. And that preacher lying to thousands of people. And I'm saying they lying. You need to check them out. Amen. And you ought to stop supporting them. Giving your money to somebody that's lying to your soul. Glory to God. It says, now he tells you do what you want to do. God will understand. So now you feel justified. You feel just, a lot of people feel justified. Because my pastor told me this. My church teach this. Amen. What does the Bible say? That's why we spend a lot of time on the Bible. So now you feel justified to do your thing on the side and still say amen. Do you know how many people in church live in this? Go to the next one. And see, these are songs that I came up on, and they strengthened me. Some of these songs nowadays, I wonder about them, Judy. Okay, don't be deceived. That's all we simply say, and don't be deceived. And I tell you all the time, when I get up and teach, if I can't prove it by this book, don't accept it. Amen? Check every person out that's talking to you from this holy book. How do you know they're right? And don't ever stop checking them out. Don't ever let your guards down because you say, well, apostle going to teach the truth. Yeah, I am, but don't ever let your guards down. You still need to look at your Bible. You still need to compare the scriptures. And you need to do that till you die. Because when you die, you're going to stand before God by yourself. Satan is out to destroy your soul. That's what he wants. And so the church said, let's preach about the spirit. I'm going to feed your spirit this morning. Your spirit. And when you search the Bible, Jesus put more emphasis on the soul than he did the spirit. There's a verse in Matthew's that says, don't fear him that is able to kill just the body, but fear him that's able to kill the body and the soul. What happened to the spirit? You don't hear Jesus talking about the spirit. You hear men talking about, I'm a spirit. I have a soul. Just some soul or something I have. And that teaching has deceived more church members. Because you don't do enough teaching on the soul. The soul is scheduled on a schedule to be saved when you stop breathing. And we think it's saved right now. The soul in the born again experience was preserved. Cleaned up and preserved. So that at the end of your life, God will finish the work in the soul. So the devil said, let me get them focusing on the spirit. See? And this is what the devil want right here. Your soul. And that's what that young man was talking about. He went and checked me out, searched the scriptures, and found out man is a soul. Amen. Glory to God. So that's our mission in the body, and that's what we're doing. Amen. And God is the one that got me into this. And I'm going to follow him for the rest of my life. Glory to God. Okay, if you have your Bibles, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. I'm going to continue the teaching, Divine Elements of Change. I wanted to finish this up because I started that teaching, and then I went over into the truth about sin, but now I want to come back to Divine Elements of Change. Because we talk about sin, but how do you get out of it? How do you get a clean life? How do you live better? And so I like to make the Word of God practical and show people how to do it. Because it's one thing to tell people they should do it. It's another thing to show them how to A, B, C, 1, 2, 3, do it. Okay, and that's what a lot of preachers are not doing. And I'm convinced that a lot of them not doing it because they don't know how. Amen. And I got a message that's going to play. It played last week, but it's going to play this week in this area. the Louisiana area, and on 106 FM. It's going to play on 1550 AM. It's going to play on 1590 AM. So we got all of this area covered because this is the sin nature capital of the world. And one of the greatest spokesmen for the sin message is right here in this town. And I'm going all over this city, and I meet more of his members than anybody. Met one yesterday and ministering to him. And but this message is going to play. And I kind of said it over and over in the message purposely. If a preacher tell you there is no such thing as sinless perfection, which simply means you can't live without sinning, that's all that means, that preacher indirectly is telling you he's got sin in his life. Amen? I'm going to say it again. If a preacher constantly tell you that there is no such thing as sinless perfection, that preacher telling you he got sin in his life. Now, my thing is, if the people sit there, if I sit here and I start telling y'all every Sunday I got sin, I'm doing this, y'all gonna sit here and follow me? Something wrong with the people that follow somebody like that. Amen? And so we're just trying to bring it to their attention. Don't let no preachers get up and tell you you can't live without sinning. I wouldn't follow that preacher to the outhouse. I don't know where that comes. Let me get back to my message. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 50. Preacher's supposed to be an example. That's why we're supposed to be up here, guys. We're not supposed to be in this pulpit talking to you, and we don't know the way. We're supposed to know the way. We're supposed to be able to help you no matter where you are to find a way. That's the job of a preacher. And if the preacher can't do that, God didn't call him and God didn't send him. Simple as that. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 50. Hallelujah. This is what it says. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doeth corruption inherit incorruption. Now, when this life is over, if you don't realize it now, you will for sure realize it then, that life was only about getting ready for the next life. It don't matter how much you learn, don't matter how many jobs you get, don't matter how many beautiful homes or cars. Don't matter what you gain in this life, when this life is over, you will then know that life as it is now was all about getting ready for the life to come. But Satan is so slick, and he get us caught up in this life, and he gets you after something in this life, and he tend to make you forget what this is about. But this is about getting ready for the next life. Now, the Bible teaches that God has preserved in the heavenly realm an inheritance for all of us. And the Bible said it's preserved in the heaven. It's undefiled. It faded not away. There are things that God has prepared and created for human beings that your mind can't even comprehend. There's nothing in the earth that can compare to it. And Satan wants you to forfeit it. Okay? It's in the heavenly realm. Now, the Bible says that we can't go into that heavenly realm just like we are. That's why he put a plan in place called salvation. And that salvation is designed to change us from within and without. And it starts with the born-again experience. When you're born again, salvation just started. That is not the sum total of salvation. It is a lifelong walk with Jesus Christ. And he's changing you into his image. And if you stay in the path of life and you stay walking with him, you will be ready when that day, when he call your number, or when that trumpet blow. And then the Bible says your soul going to be glorified. Your spirit is already glorified. The body going to be glorified, and you'll be able to walk in the realm where God is. But flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. You cannot go the way you are. That's why God got a plan to change you. However many days he let you live, he got you on a schedule, changing you. And the only thing that would hinder the change is if we start getting in the flesh, living in sin, and sin hinders the change. Okay? All right. Now, go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 14. It says, "And not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished." In other words, what he's trying to tell you here is that when God gave the law to Moses and gave him all the different things that the Jewish people would have to live by, it was so glorious that when Moses came off the mountain, they had to put a veil over his face because the people couldn't even look at him. It was so glorious. And God said, the system that I set up in the Old Testament was glorious, but that was going to be abolished and pass away. But this new system would never pass away. That's what he's talking about there, to give you a little history. Verse 14 says, "But their minds were blinded." See, the mind is a component of the soul. "Their mind was blinded, for until this day there remaineth the veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament." You know how the old folks used to tell us the children are born with a veil over their heart? Okay, all sinners born with a veil over their heart. Okay, and it says, "But their minds were blinded, for until this day there remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ." See, like when people pick up this Bible and try to read it, there's a veil over them. You can read it and don't even get it. It's a veil. But when they get born again and come into Christ, the veil is taken away. And then the things you don't understand, that's why he set teachers in the body to help it come more clear. And when I'm up, if I'm teaching the truth and you born again, the veil taken from off of you, you may not have ever seen that, but if I teach the truth, something inside of you say, that's the truth. You see it because the veil is taken off of you. I don't mean to labor this much here, but I want to give you some history on these scriptures. So he said in verse 15, "But even until this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their hearts." And he's primarily talking about the Jews. The Jews read this Bible. They was established in this Bible. They were the ones given the law. And when they read it, they can't even see it. That's how they miss Jesus, the Messiah. But when you come into Christ, that veil is taken away, both Jew and Gentile. Now, verse 16. "Nevertheless, when it turned to the Lord," when it turned to the Lord. I'm going to tell you what that "it" is in a minute. "When it turned to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." That's why when the praise team, but I'll tell you what the praise team did good. Give the Lord a good hand for the praise team. It is expanding. Amen. Y'all doing a good job. But when the praise team was singing, and as they went to the last song, you could sense the presence and the liberty of the Lord in the place. That was God. That was God. That was God's Spirit. And he said, well, you sense that, there is liberty. Okay? It says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed." This is what changes us, whether you know it or not. He said flesh and blood can't go into that realm. We need a visitation from God every time we come to church. You don't need a visitation from intellect. You don't need a visitation from religion. You need a visitation from the Holy Ghost. And when the Holy Ghost visits us and we sense him, he's doing something in your life. That's real church. Okay? Because now fake church, you go and your soul enjoy it. Just your soul. Because see, your soul enjoy James Brown if you listen to him long enough. Your feet will get to doing that with James Brown. You know? It could be more than Jane Brown. Some of y'all souls already joined some of it. But my point is, you want your soul and your spirit to rejoice. So when the Holy Spirit come in the house, your spirit bear witness with him, that's God. Then your soul begin to be touched in a way that it goes beyond your understanding. But let me tell you what's going on. He's changing us into his image. Hallelujah. Okay. So when he said it turned to that it, he's talking about the heart. We talked a little bit about the heart in the class this morning. Now, divine elements of change. I've already talked to you about the first divine element of change is a person have to call upon the Lord. They have to come to the Lord and be born again. And God set a person up in their life. You know, there's a lot of people that don't serve God that have never been born again, but God know their heart and he's dealing with them. He's bringing them to a place of surrender because they done saw so much stuff in the world, stuff in the church, but God know that person's heart, so God will deal with them and bring them to a place to where they surrender to Jesus Christ. And when he do, that's the first element of change. Okay? Second element of change we talked about is he'll set you in a household of faith. Okay? Now, every church is not necessarily a household of faith. I've already talked to you about that. Okay? Just because you go to an assembly, the church can be big, small, look nice, not look so nice. It could be anything, but that don't mean it is a household of faith. Okay? And but if you sit in a real household of faith, God will continue to change you. Okay? And he's changing you because flesh and blood cannot go into that realm. There's going to be so many people going to forfeit what God got for them. There's not one person God ever allowed to live on this earth that he don't have something greater for them other than what they see. And a lot of people going to die and miss out on what life was all about. Now, that's a tragedy, okay? The third element of change we looked at is cooperating with the Heavenly Father. In this changing process, you have to cooperate with the Heavenly Father. So we're going to go back there, and I'm going to extend that thought, and just that one point today is what we're going to deal with. All right, now go to Titus 3 and verse 5. We'll lunch from here. It says, he's describing how we got saved, those of us who are saved. And if you're not saved, you can be saved. It's easy. You got to come to a place where you want him. It says, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration. I preach the standard. I preach the truth. I will not ever preach anything but the truth ever again. But I always realize that no matter how much I preach it and how strong I am, I always remember that I was once a fool. See? And so as long as I remember where I have come from, I can always have mercy on people, no matter where they are. I can have patience with people. Now, there is something that should be in you to quickly get out of sin, but how many of y'all know people don't quickly get out of sin? So as long as I see them alive, I'm going to keep trying to work with people. Amen? Because God worked with me. Okay, so the Bible said, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his mercy he saved us. And then he tell us in this verse how he saved us. This is how he saved me. I didn't do anything good. He just saw my heart and he started working with me. He saved us by the washing of regeneration. In other words, the regeneration caused the washing in my life. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Three major things happen inside of salvation. When you're born again, there's a regeneration. We know, according to the scriptures, and you know I teach it a lot here, that the spirit is the only thing that was born again. No other part of that human being was born again. And the church have really misunderstood born again. They really have. They think born again is the guarantee of getting into to the kingdom. And the Bible don't teach that. We just assumed it and people have taught it that way. But born again don't mean guaranteed to go in. Born again means you done got into the plan of salvation. You're a new creature now. You're a child of God. Now work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That's what born again simply do. It puts you on the path now to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. But I'm telling you, most churches, most messages have misconstrued born again. And they think, since I'm born again, I'm God's child. Yeah, you are. But that don't mean you can't lose what you got. It's all over the Bible. Let me try not to be preachy there. But anyway, the spirit is the only thing born again. The body was sanctified the day you got saved. When I got saved, my body ain't want to sin. I ain't want to do nothing wrong. I love, man, look, I used to hate washing dishes. I went and washed all the dishes and kept washing them all that week. I'm serious. I just wanted to be clean. Amen. And my body was holy. I didn't know it was sanctified then. I didn't know then what I know now. But my body, God sanctified my body when my spirit was born again. And he sanctified my soul when my spirit was born again. And took my soul, who is the true person, and took it and placed it in the Holy Ghost. Now, if we would have known how to just walk in the spirit when we first got saved, we wouldn't be struggling with some things we struggle with now. I'm talking about we as a church. You know, but we wasn't taught how to walk as new creatures, and so we did what we thought, you know. But you was a brand new creature that day, placed in the spirit, and you could have lived your life identically like Jesus Christ if somebody would have told you how to do it. Yeah. Amen. Because Jesus was born from above. Jesus had a natural body. And he had a natural soul. That's what made him fully man and fully God. So when we got born again, we had the same start Jesus had. No different. We were just like him. No different. Glory to God. Now, go to Romans chapter 8. For the creature was made subject to vanity. You know what creature he's talking about? If you go back and look, he's talking about the new creature. When you was born again, that new creature was made subject to vanity. That new creature, that born again spirit is now divine, one with the Holy Ghost. He's fully God. Okay, your spirit is fully God. But that new creature was made subject to vanity. You know what vanity is? The vainness of your body and your soul. The body is still corruptible. It's going to still die. And that new creature, which it was born from above, was placed inside of the vanity of the flesh. That's what he's talking about. Okay, for the creature was made subject to vanity. Not willingly. It wasn't that we wanted it. God willed it that way. You know why God took that new creature and made it subject to vanity? Because now you got this flesh that's going to die, that's dying and corruptible. But now he said, now if you really love me, stay inside my spirit and not go after the vainness of this world. It's a proven thing. You got to prove yourself worthy of God. God was smart. He said, y'all want to live with me? You want what I got for you? You want to live with me forever? You want to rule and reign with me? I'm going to keep your inheritance in the heavenly realm. And now I'm going to put a plan in place called salvation. I'm going to save you now. And I'm going to cause your born-again spirit to be put inside of vanity. Now you got to walk in this vain body resisting it. All the way to the end. To him that endure to the end, same shall be saved. So if you really want to live with him, it's like prove it. That's what he's talking about. But by reason of him who subjected the same in hope. Watch what he did. He took this new creature, that born again spirit, that sanctified soul, and he made you hope. He made you hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. The hope is the born again soul at the end. The hope is the soul going to be glorified just like the spirit. God did it that way. Anytime you see, well, not anytime, sometime it used in different statements, but the majority of the time you see this word hope in the right context, he's talking about the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul, the saving of your soul. The soul is not saved yet like you think. The soul is preserved in God to be saved at the end. 1 Peter 1:9, receiving the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your soul. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38 and 39, going all the way to the saving of your soul. So this teaching has not been in the church, and because people don't understand this, they don't walk right.
Well, praise the Lord. We're just about out of time. We're going to have to cut into the broadcast, but I want to encourage you to go to our webpage for all the free teaching you like. We go further into a lot of things regarding the Word of God, and we use the website to disciple the people of God. Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 31, 32, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I believe that if a man of God get a word of God, he shouldn't sell it to you. So therefore, we offer it absolutely free. www.someonecaresministry.org. That's www.someonecaresministry.org. If you want to call 225-272-6647. This is Apostle Curtis Lewis saying we love you. Thank God for you. And remember, someone cares for you, and his name is Jesus.